Jason's just shaking his head at me. He's like, I don't like you anymore. You like those vocals?
No, not really.
Pazzo's podcast. We are here live and in person at Oktoberfest at Christ the King Church, enjoying ourselves. Specifically picked that opening track for Jason to show him where I'm from.
I just don't know it.
Who my people are.
Them peeps.
Actually went up to
a lot of eyeliner there.
There's no eyeliner there. I went up to Northside Yacht Club in Cincinnati. It's a pretty cool little bar. And got to see them on Thursday night. And honestly, I got to come back with praises for that bar in Cincinnati. That's a really good bar. It's got some excellent choices of beer and everything, and I was impressed.
Cincinnati's got a lot of great bars. I've been up there a lot recently. And every time I go up there, I find a new, cool little niche bar.
It's a big city. I mean, they should have a lot of really cool stuff, so yeah.
And also, awesome Oktoberfest history out of Cincinnati there.
They do. A lot of people really don't understand how big that German contingency is out of Cincinnati. But the Northern Kentucky and the Cincinnati Oktoberfest celebration they put on is the second largest in the world. Second only to Munich, Germany, which is happening right now as well. So it's really kind of a neat thing they do up there, and it's just full of really great German beer, really great German food, just all things German is really doing a great job there. One of the things I really appreciate about the beer scene in Cincinnati is it's really variant and really rich, but really isn't rich with what we consider to be the current craft beer scene. The Cincinnati beer scene is, they really hang their hat on a lot of the best German kind of lagers from Germany. A lot of those immigrants that kind of settled in that area some 200 years ago, they brought that German heritage and that German tradition with them. And so when they settled in that lower Ohio basin, that they kind of brought that beer culture with them. And for a long time, they really hung their hat on really well-made German-style beers. And we see that with the Murchison Sam Adams, that was one of the first craft breweries that kind of came to that area. And then we also saw that with the Christian Moorline Group and some other people like that who came along. And so the history of beer has always been there, but it's only really been the last 5 or 6 years we've really seen that microbrewery scene in Cincinnati really kick off. And a lot of people, particularly craft beer contingency up in Cincinnati, they felt like that craft beer wasn't well represented, that they had failed to make that transition to a modern day way of tasting and drinking beer. But that they seem to catch up in short order with breweries like Mad Tree and Ryan Geist and a bunch of other ones kind of along that ilk that's really putting Cincinnati back on the beer scene with a modern beer flavor, not just those historic German things. But that historic German thing is still alive and well, as you see whenever you go to that Oktoberfest up there. There's millions of people that go to that. 2 or 3 million, I think, the crowd that city for that Oktoberfest. And they're only surpassed by maybe another million or two that actually happens in Munich, Germany, which a lot of my friends are in Munich, Germany right now, and it really irritates me when I see their Instagram posts and their Facebook posts, because that's where I want to be right now. I think next year that we should do our podcast from Munich.
I think that's an excellent idea. We should pursue that immediately.
But this isn't a bad plan B. Where are we today, Josh?
We are at Christ the King Church, and always one of the better Oktoberfest festivals in Lexington, I think. One of the only ones, actually. Of course, you have a few breweries and stuff. I know that Blue Stallion and stuff, they throw their own little Oktoberfest thing, but this is the big one as it comes to it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I know they tied it on pretty good last night. This is nestled right in the middle of the very historic Chevy Chase neighborhood. And Christ the King Church really puts this on, and there's all kinds of debauchery. There's beer drinking, and there's gambling, and there's hard rock music, and there's just a lot of stuff going on right here. This is really, really kind of neat for a church. But I know they tied one on good last night. We had a lot of people coming to the beer trap as I was kind of winding down on my shift, and it was getting 11 or 12 o'clock at night. We got flooded with people that came from here into there. Now, most of those people weren't. They shouldn't have been in public. They had no business asking for more beer, but they come in and ask for more beer, and so I happily oblige. And but I could tell they come out here and they had a lot of fun last night. And here it is; it's just 1 o'clock, getting started here, and they're already filling up really quick. We got some background noise behind us. It's really kind of a cool venue, really cool event.
Yeah, we've had a couple bands in from here over at Bear and Butcher for brunch today.
And they've got a huge stage set up. We're going to have quite a few acts on tonight. Should be a lot of fun. And, of course, they've got the beer tent and the actual German food. So
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I've enjoyed that, yeah.
I just ate the best worst I ever had. And so it was fantastic. And tried that with Alltech. They have their tin out here, so I was able to drink their Kolsch. And that's just, if I can't be in Munich, at least that flavor kind of takes me there for a minute. Had the potatoes, and they were, you know, had some sort of butter scallop. Josh knows the kind of sweetness in there. Had some bacon in there, so that was really good. Sauerkraut, mustard, oh, it's fantastic.
Everything you need, right?
Yeah, and I was talking to Josh. I said, it might have been the cockiest thing that I've ever done in my life. I get this bratwurst where it's just covered in relish and mustard, and I sit down and realize I don't have the first napkin in front of me. That might be the most overconfident thing I've ever done. It's gotten worse like that, and not got a napkin.
Did you end up using your pants?
That's okay. I have sleeves on my shirt. That was good enough.
So, okay, yeah. All right. Yeah. That's all you need, really.
So I'm getting ready to go here in about an hour and to the beer trap, so you're going to see mustard stains all over my shirt, and that's not by accident.
That's kind of the usual, though, right?
That is pretty usual, yeah. I cannot eat without making a mess, I admit it.
I'm the same way, actually. I usually have some sort of dribble, and there's always a leftover in my beard that I'll save for later, and
snacks.
I'll find it, and I'm just like, okay. Either that or my son will pull it out, and he'll munch on it.
Yeah, eat steak for lunch, and then you have beef jerky after dinner.
That's right,
right.
He
dries out a little.
He got his first try of kraut. I gave him some, and he was really digging that, so that was good.
That's a big boy food right there.
Mm-hmm. And, I like the whole family feel here. Like, you can bring the whole everybody out, and everybody, there's something for everyone. You know, there's something for the kids to bounce around on. Then you can go bounce around in the beer tent, and there's music. Everything's good.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. There's bouncy houses for the kids. There's tons of stuff for the kids to get into. There's plenty of alcohol for the parents to tolerate the kids.
Great.
So, yeah, it's good yin and yang. They've really covered all the bases out here.
So, we are away from our regular home, of course, Pazzo's, which we love. But thinking about that, I actually wandered into the beer trap about a week or two ago and picked up a wonderful beer that I kind of want you to expand upon. I know that everybody can go to your Beer Advocate posts and see those, but I want you to kind of talk about it live because I know that you had reviewed it and everything, but I loved it, and it was Stone's Fruitalica.
Yeah, the Fruitalica, it's an Imperial IPA. It's actually a collaboration beer they do with Beavertown Brewery and Garage Project breweries. And it's no foreign concept for Stone to collaborate with some other breweries, kind of come up with new thoughts, new theories, new directions the beer should go. And if anybody knows anything about Stone Brewing Company, they love their hops. They're in San Diego or right outside of there. And everything they make is extremely hoppy but extremely good. They quickly become one of my favorite breweries once I really started getting into them, and I'll tell you a story why here in a minute. But the Fruitalica is really a nice beer. It's an Imperial IPA, and it's just low with fruit and just a kiss of hot pepper. It's got a little bit of habanero on the back end of it, just enough to kind of give a little bit of brightness to that finish, a little bit of dryness, a little bit of snap to the beer. So it's really good, but it uses some really clever fruit additions, things like kiwi and yuzu, which is a citrus from Japan. And so they use those fruits because they have this own little, like, tangy, almost winey, green berry characteristics, slightly melon-like. And those flavors provide this huge, like, perfumey aroma. It's something like citronella, something like potpourri to start out with. But when you taste it, it's just those juicy fruit flavors just kind of explode on the palate. And it really brings that juiciness of melon. Like when you kind of bite into a piece of cantaloupe, how there's just the juiciness is almost overwhelming. The beer does the same thing, and that kind of extends across that middle palate to the point where that juiciness kind of fades very quickly, and here comes the bitterness in the finish. And that bitterness really grows intensely. This is a 70 IBU plus beer. This isn't the New England style that's lighter on the bitterness and maybe a little bit more, you know, plump in the beginning, even though that plumpness does radiate here particularly well. It dries out wonderfully, and it has this really clean, crisp finish, and it kind of gives me an impression of like lemon verbena or like freshly shaven sassafras or some of those really herbal tea-like notes that's not harsh like those pine hops would be like if they use Chinook or Summit or something like that, but the hops that they use just has a little bit more of a winey finesse to them, and really brings out this very sharp, almost like I want to say a piquant bitterness. And the thing I like about it is the bitterness does fade eventually, but that resonance from the habanero just kind of lingers a little bit more. The habanero is no stronger than the alcohol is or the hops are.
Right. It doesn't really kick you in the mouth with spice, but
yeah,
you taste
really
that
don't
pepper.
Know it's there. Yeah. Until everything else kind of fades, but that linger of capsaicin is just right there to kind of tease the back of the gullet just slightly. It's really nice beer. I can understand why you like it.
I really, really liked it. I'm going to have to get over to the beer trap and pick me me up at least two more of those bombers.
We don't have many. We don't have many more. We do have a few, but we don't have a lot.
So I should go today.
You should go like right now.
Okay.
Right now. I'll play my music. By the way, what was that music? I'm not used to. I mean, we started out with this Oktoberfest celebration. Double bass drums isn't exactly what I think is synonymous with Oktoberfest.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? maybe if that Munich Oktoberfest was to be in Berlin, I could see it going there. Berlin has a little bit more of a harder edge to it. Yeah. But the Southern Germany, I was thinking Oompa Band or something. But no, you dive right into the deep end of the music pool.
Well, we'll go with David Hasselhoff on the way out, actually.
Equipped with the videos. Yeah. Right. Those videos are magic.
I mean, fantastic of him just dancing on the wall, man. I mean, it's good. Maybe we can get him down here to dance on our new wall once
that
it's
would
up.
Be awesome.
That would be good.
He's a party animal. Did you see that video came out several years ago of him just eating stuff off the floor? He was drunk off his ass and just eating stuff off the floor and just like this drunken stupor. It's hilarious. It's worth checking out. Google David Hasselhoff drunk.
So what you're saying is we need to party with David Hasselhoff.
We sure do. He could probably teach us a thing or two.
Probably.
I'd say so. He has a talking car, so if you have a talking car, you know what's up.
Ejectable seats. It flies through the air. It's really kind of cool.
So, yeah, totally. David Hasselhoff is on Spotify, so we're going out.
Nice.
It's happening.
Yeah. Music punishment day.
It is. So there's a few more things that I tried this week, which I really enjoyed. We talked about Mad Tree from Cincinnati. I tried their Blood Orange. What is it? Psychopathy?
Psychopathy.
Yeah.
That was a big addition to the market this week. First of all, it strikes you because it's kind of got this dark can, mm-hmm. and it kind of fades to this orange, reddish kind of hue on top. But then it goes back into the actual top of the can, the part that you cramp on top of the can, the stuff with the pull tab on it, that's black too, and it's mm-hmm. very eye-catching. Who knew something that was just jet black like that could actually grab your attention? So that's kind of neat. But the Psychopathy has been a really popular beer for them for quite some time. That's their flagship IPA. That's probably the beer that they pride themselves the most on. It's probably their best-selling beer. But they decided to give it a little bit of a makeover by adding the blood orange to it. And so that gives it a much more citrusy, much more bright, just again, that citronella, you know, aroma and flavor just jumps right out at you immediately. The cool thing is those hops that they use naturally carries that orange tone also, along with some grapefruit and some pine. They do a really nice job with that. And then the blood orange is just exacerbates what the hops started to do. So that fruit actually finishes telling the story. Now, I really like the beer because even you get that kind of pithy, resinous bitterness that comes along with the fruit, like the ribs inside of it and all that kind of stuff comes along with it. It does get a little bit sharp with the pectin bite. Pectins are kind of like tannins. And so how tannins can add this kind of sharp sensation to the palate, but it's not quite bitterness. It's not a flavor. It's actually a mouthfeel component. And you feel that. And so you kind of feel that pectin quality. And in the wine world, if that's kept in check, then it can help balance the wine. But if it's too much, then it can be distracted to the flavors. And I think they flirt with that line a little bit.
They do.
They push right there. The fruit actually, you know, takes the hops to a bitter level that the hops probably can't achieve on its own. But then it stops right there before it proves too much. And so that's really nice beer.
It kind of grew on me. I had when I started out at the first part of the can, I was like, I'm not sure if I really like this. And then towards the end of it, I was like, I do like this. So.
Well, when it's got alcohol in it, I seem to enjoy it more toward the end
of the can. That's true.
Funny how that works.
It was after about three, too, that I really enjoyed it. So, well, we're here at Oktoberfest, Christ the King, really enjoying ourselves. You know, we're going to have one more episode, and we're going to talk about some food. I want to get Jason in on this, talk about some good German food, pairings with Kolsch and Oktoberfest beer and all that good stuff, so we'll figure it out. And as we fade... Yeah. This has been Pazzo's Podcast.
I've not done enough ecstasy to fully appreciate
this. This is
thing.
German. This is where it's at right here.
Right in the street. I think we need to go into 99 Luke Balloon.
That's going to be the next one. That'll be the opener. Thank you guys so much for listening to our bonus episode of Pazzo's Podcast. We really appreciate it, and we're going to do one more here from live from, actually not quite live, but we'll put it up here in a little bit, from Christ the King Church at Oktoberfest. We're enjoying ourselves. Come back and join us for the next episode. Thank you so much.